Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Pat Wynn Brown has made something of a franchise out of finding the humorous pathos in cancer, the side stories that make it not inevitably a part of death, but also a very big part of life. And she doesn't just make up the stories out of thin air. She invites the words of other cancer survivors to share the stage. And the overarching theme? It's not cancer. It's hair, or the lack thereof. Her latest show includes the work of 12 non-professional cast members who prepared their monologues at a day-long workshop and over the course of several rehearsals. Patty is with us today to talk about the show and its evolution over recent months. Pat Wynn Brown is a performer, producer, director, author, philanthropist, MC, and creator of Hair Theater. She is a three-time winner of the James Thurber Summer Series Humor Award and is featured in a documentary about famed humor writer Irma Bombeck. Welcome back to the show, Pat Wynn Brown.
Thank you, Ann Fisher. And I can't help but notice that you don't have any bangs anymore. What happened to your bangs?
I just got tired of having to get them cut all the time. Oh. It's just another function of my laziness.
Michelle Obama took over for you in the bang department.
You know, I kind of thought,
You started it.
But if I get them cut now, everyone will think I'm just copying Michelle Obama.
I know. No, you've got it going on in a different direction. We'll all follow. That's what I have to say.
Coming up February 28th is the Hairdo Monologues, when Mansoor Chemo styles her hair. Tickets are free. For more information, check out the Hair Theater Beauty School link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. So, Pat, the show is made up of all volunteers, 6 breast cancer survivors, and 4 professionals. Tell us what you were thinking when you decided to bring more than just the cancer survivors onto the show.
This has been a vision of mine for a long time, because we often will hear the stories from the cancer survivors. And I went online to look at the various shows, and women tell their stories about hair loss, about getting through cancer. But I wanted the professionals, the medical professionals and the hair professionals and a husband, to come on to this panel and tell their stories from their perspectives. They're often not heard. And what I've discovered through the workshop that we did, where everybody wrote their monologues together, they talked about their experiences, it became one of the best support groups for all of us of all time. And anybody, whether they had breast cancer or big struggles in their life, had they been there that day, their spirit would have been lifted. And that's what we're going to do with the show. When you hear about the topic, breast cancer, hair loss, you think, well, this is going to be depressing. It is anything but. You'll be entertained, you'll be inspired, and you'll be transformed. And you know, Ann, you came to the Dude Wears My Hair show with the children when they told their stories, and how uplifting and inspiring that was. Well, this will have the monologues, but we'll also have the wonderful entertainers as well, musicians and dancers, being with us to put a little exclamation point on each of the monologues.
You know, with Dude Wears My Hair, though, you had little tissue packets every other seat.
We did.
And for good reason, I found out. Also joining us is Dr. Mark Kripe. He's a board-certified general surgeon and fellowship-trained breast surgeon. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kripe.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
You're part of this company.
Yes.
How did you get involved?
Well, Patty asked me to be involved.
With a gun to his head.
Why did you agree?
That's a better question. So this is dealing with women with breast cancer, and what a wonderful job that Patty does as far as raising money for women and raising money to buy wigs for patients that are going through chemotherapy that can't afford wigs. And so I think it's just a wonderful thing that she does. And so I try to help out in different ways that I can. And so ultimately, that's why I said yes.
Was it something? Have you ever done anything like this before? Did you ever have time for theater while you were going through medical school? Or
never. Okay. Never in high school, never in college. But it's been quite eye-opening, and it's really been a great experience to sit down with breast cancer patients and talk through a number of the difficulties and problems and joys that they have as they go through their treatment process.
Do you get a lot of that as the surgeon? Do you get to experience a lot of that joy along the way, or in general?
Dealing with cancer patients, I think, is truly a privilege. So it's something that they're scared to death. Initially, they come to see you, and then as you go through surgery, and that's also a very scary time. Once you get 3 months, 6 months, a year out, the patients start to understand it's not a death sentence, typically, and they can go through the life-changing experience and come out on the other side, sometimes even better, and having a better understanding of priorities in their life and doing the things that they want to do and need to do for themselves rather than just get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the world. So, yeah, patients do come out on the other side very joyful and enjoying life.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Pat Wynn Brown, founder of Hair Theater. She has a new show coming up. We're talking about that. Dr. Mark Kripe as well is also with us. He's a surgeon and fellowship-trained breast surgeon. We're talking about, I guess, the other sides of cancer, the moments of growth, the moments of self-awareness, the humorous parts of it. If you have a story you want to share that helped maybe to tell us something about what got you through your cancer treatments, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Dr. Kripe, what is your monologue about?
Of course, about my hair. And so this is something
nice
that's, yeah, it's great. It's been interesting to talk about your hair, I think, as a guy, number one, but also someone who hasn't gone through chemotherapy and hair loss. And so it's, I didn't think I would have much to offer initially, but then as we continue to go through our monologues, that I think that it is a good perspective coming from a guy and someone who hasn't lost their hair. So it's going to be very fun.
He's very persnickety about his hair and what has been since he was a little child. And he talks about feathering his hair, and he was a user of the Aquanet hairspray for a while, too. So
yes, I was.
And it's good in the monologues because people talk about their hairdo histories growing up. And I think that's one part of hair loss that we don't do with women is let's go back and talk about what your mother did to your hair or what your sister did to your hair right before the prom, and to bring up some of those funny things, to remember your hair because it's been with you all along. And if your hairdos could talk, they would have a lot to say. But one of the most interesting parts of Dr. Kripe's monologue is the transformation of one of his patients in particular who changed her life as a result of cancer for the better.
Yeah, and I get to see a lot of wonderful patient kind of growth, if you will, as they deal with their own struggles and issues outside of cancer. And one lady in particular was an alcoholic and a smoker, and so she came to me and had breast cancer. And as she was going through treatment, before she started chemotherapy, her medical oncologist, Dr. Yadav, said, if you don't stop drinking and stop smoking, you're not going to make it through chemotherapy and you won't live. So she gave up alcohol completely, gave up cigarettes, and she said that the best thing that ever happened to her is she got cancer because then she got clean and she was involved in her daughter's life, who was in high school, brilliant daughter, going on to be valedictorian, went off to college. She said the best thing that ever happened to me was to get cancer and be involved in my daughter's life.
I was going to ask you whether you think about the sadness that could come along with being a surgeon who works with cancer patients a lot, and if it occurred to you when you decided to go into the field?
Not really, not as far as the sadness. And I would say on the majority of patients, it's probably a happiness. So it's very odd you think of cancer being happy. But again, so many patients with breast cancer do very, very well, and many patients are cured. And so you get to experience that joy with them throughout many, many years. So it's not always a sadness. For a few, it is.
Patty, there are other people besides the... We're going to be meeting a breast cancer survivor coming up, and her spouse.
Yes.
But there are other professionals besides the doctors that are involved in somebody's life because of the cancer, too.
That's right. Dr. Borges is with us, who's a radiologist, and we have with us hair professionals. So Tom LaCrone is with us, who has a salon in Worthington, and Bethany Golden, who will be with us today, has the Over My Head shop that deals with wigs, and it's one of the three wig shops that I work with the charitable wing of the show. And then we also have musicians and dancers who will perform with us. So we have Enrique and Kimberly Infante, who are a Latin duo, because Adriana, who's in our cast, deals with the Latina community with breast health. And Adriana was a physician in Mexico and has gone through breast cancer twice herself. Columbus Dance Theater are doing a pas de deux with us, Jamie and Seth. It's so beautiful. Nicole Rankin is a former river dancer. She'll dance after Peggy Kelly's monologue because Peggy Kelly talks about her Irish heritage We have the Ukulele Cowboy Society, who will welcome everybody, Jesse and Michael. And Walroo and Friends are a drumming circle, and they're going to drum in each of the cast members as they come into the hall. So with music and dance and stories, to me, sometimes that's the best combination to help us answer the question, why? Why did this happen? There's often no intellectual answer that you can give, but the arts help to provide us the comfort and to accept the circumstances that we've been given.
We have three Facebook comments from Karen. Always good to bring awareness to how much humor can help us through the hard times in our lives. Gilda's Club in Grand Rapids has saved my life. Gilda Radner was a fantastic advocate for humor.
Yes.
Of course, the late Gilda Radner. From Nicole on Facebook, she says, my husband also dealt with his cancer with humor and tries to help other parents do the same. He wrote a book called The Year My Dad Went Bald to help explain to kids what happens when your dad gets cancer.
Yeah, we read an article about that.
We are thrilled for every book that sells, mm-hmm. but also heartbroken knowing another family is coping with the new normal of a life with cancer. And also from John on Facebook, I was just diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. And I'm in the middle of what will be a 5-week stay at the James. Keeping up a sense of humor is very important, just as with anything else that keeps my life normal. It also helps that I got to experience about a month of mysterious symptoms deterioration before being diagnosed. And every day in the hospital is pleasant by comparison. I wonder, Dr. Kripe, if you found that with patients who, now that they know, they feel like they've got some control.
I think a little bit. You know, definitely knowing and then moving towards a treatment process, people feel a lot better once you're doing something about it. So I think definitely there is power in that.
There's been a lot written and talked about over the years regarding the bedside manner of physicians and their cancer patients or any patient in general. Do you get any special training or do you advocate any special training when it comes to that sort of a thing? Or is it just strictly a personality?
I think there's very poor training. And you get a lot of that just by going through all the different rotations in medical school, and some physicians are better than others. That is something I try to specifically talk with the general surgery residents about, is just sitting down with the patients, making sure the power of touch, so you're always having contact with your patient, and then also laughter. Even though we're doing the monologues here in the office, I always try to make every patient have some laughter throughout our interview at some point in time.
And I can attest to it because, as you know, Anne, after we started the monologues, I was re-diagnosed with problems with my melanoma site. And as it would happen, Dr. Kripe became my doctor. And I think you should teach courses in bedside manner, because I was very, very upset before surgery. And my husband and son sat there with me. We'd gone through this too many times in the past years, and it made me feel terrible that they had to go through this again. But Dr. Kripe held my hand and asked if I wanted to pray, and I did. And it was such a reassuring thing. And I was crying up till I'm a real baby. But it was interesting, too, because then I looked up at him, and he said, you're going to be okay, you're going to be okay. And I said, all right, that's what I'm going to say to you right before the show when you're crying and have to go on stage and we switch places, buddy.
It was great to both be in that kind of power and then also the one that's going to be crying here in just a few weeks. So that'll be great.
We'll switch places.
Yes.
Just real quickly, somebody sent me a private message today. They said that a friend of theirs is in a clinic that employs patient navigators who help patients stay informed about the treatment, which is important because doctors are not the best communicators all the time. Why are patient navigators not mandatory, especially for people with serious illnesses? That was a question they asked. And Dr. Kripe, do you have any thoughts about that?
And that's something where breast cancer, we've really been on the forefront, I think. And so at Ohio Health, we have wonderful nurse navigators. So as soon as a patient not is just diagnosed with cancer but has an abnormal mammogram, then a nurse navigator comes in and guides them through the process of what is a biopsy if you need one. And then if they have a cancer diagnosis, that is someone that guides them through, you're going to be seeing your surgeon, what's going to happen for surgery, what's going to happen during surgery and after surgery. So there is someone for that first year that navigates them through all the difficulties of cancer. And we're moving that forward now, just not just from breast cancer, but for all cancers, where you do have a lot of different medical professionals working together. And we're starting to do that for all different cancer types at Ohio Health.
And what's really wonderful is in our cast is Pauline Russ, who manages that department and those navigators,
okay.
who's a breast cancer survivor, who had breast cancer while she was pregnant with her little boy, who came to our rehearsal, who's a darling child. So Pauline's been my liaison because we're supported by Ohio Health. And she has done her full job during the day, her second job at home, and this third job of helping with this show. Remarkable woman.
Yes.
We're going to continue our conversation with Pat Wynn Brown, but I have to say goodbye to Dr. Mark Kripe. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Kripe.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Kripe, he's a board-certified general surgeon and fellowship-trained breast surgeon. We're talking about the Hairdo Monologues when Mansoor Chemo Styles Her Hair. Tickets are free. For more information, check out the Hair Theater Beauty School link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On Talk of the Nation, we tackle the day's issues and discuss the topics that matter to you. We take the time to explore every angle of a story, and we do it all live with your help. Find out what everyone is talking about. I'm Neil Conan. Tune in and join the conversation next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation is this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station. 1 to 3 inches of snow is likely today, a high of 29 degrees. A little more snow likely tonight, about less than a half an inch of accumulation tonight, a low of 19. Cloudy skies and a high of 30 for Tuesday, a chance of snow for Tuesday night, a low of 21. And mostly sunny with a high of 31 on Wednesday. Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Metropolitan Club, presenting their weekly forum. Wednesday at noon, it's Waco, Turning Trash to Cash, a discussion of a total recycling operation that includes energy generation and a business park. Tickets and more information at columbusmetroclub.org. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about the impact that cancer and cancer treatments can have on a person's life and how some people cope with the stresses. Still with us is Hair Theater creator Pat Wynn Brown. Her new Hair Theater show is coming up February 28th. It's called The Hairdo Monologues, When Mansoor Chemo Styles Her Hair. For more information, check out the Hair Theater Beauty School link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Still with us is Pat Wynn Brown, founder of Hair Theater. Pat, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Anne. You know I love to be with you at all times, on or off the air.
Joining us now is Vicki Smith, a member of the cast of the Hairdo Monologues and a cancer survivor. Welcome, Vicki.
Hi, Anne. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And also joining us is Vicki's husband, Tony Cochran. He's creator of the Agnes cartoon. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks, Ann.
Vicki, why did you join the cast of the Hairdo Monologues, besides the fact that Patty probably forced you to do it? What?
And Vicki was first to be asked.
I was first, yes. I don't know. I've never talked to Patty about whether or not she had already planned this show when she asked me or not, but Tony and I made a decision to share our adventure. We refuse to call it a journey, but to share this adventure on Facebook and with our friends. And Patty came to my rescue right away, and she was extremely supportive. And at that time, Patty asked me if I would be interested in being one of the actresses in her her show. And I have never done anything like that. And I think the moment I got the diagnosis of cancer, something snapped in me. And
in a good way or a bad way?
Well, both. But the positive thing was that I wanted to take more chances with things. And I had never done theater, and I trusted Patty. And I thought, let's do this. I had not even had surgery yet when Patty talked about this. So it was a good thing, I thought, to branch out and try something new.
And we have a connection before this in that at the Irma Bombeck conference we met, and Tony's mother and Irma Bobek were very good friends. And then we did some panels together. So that's how we kind of got to know each other. And then we've gotten to know each other a lot better now through the show.
And so, Tony, you're in the show as well.
Right. I'm the only paid cast member.
What is your monologue about? It comes from the spouse's point of view?
Well, Vicki and I do our monologues together.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of like a back and forth about one aspect of the adventure, as Vicki likes to call it. It's fun. She made me swear that I wouldn't give it away during the radio.
Oh, it's a secret.
Yeah.
Well, you must come to the show to hear exactly how we dealt with it. But we'll give you some insight.
They are the Steve and Edie of our show. I like to think of them as our couple. And they're the only ones doing the monologue together. And they go back and forth in a sort of a call and response. And they've been together since they were high school sweethearts.
16, something like that.
Mm-hmm. They were 16. Good.
And they talk about that in the show. And I think it's really meaningful for men to come to the show as well, to hear Tony's perspective and Tom's perspective and Mark's perspective, because as Tony said in our video, our promo video for the show, the man's perspective, they look at this completely differently than women do. And also, it's very frightening for men. It's frightening for us going through it. But when I looked at the look on my husband's face when I had surgery a couple weeks ago, that was the thing that made me the saddest, was to see him so worried. And I'm sure you felt the same way.
Oh yeah, it's a whole new ball game when it's your wife instead of your mother, and you never know exactly how you're going to react to each specific situation as it comes up, mm-hmm. and each specific situation as it comes up is loaded with emotion, and it's loaded with horror and joy and all the aspects of humanity. And human feelings come at you like a prize fighter, and you have to, you know, duck and weave and be willing to take a good hit on the chin once in a while also. So,
and it's wonderful that Tony lent his Agnes cartoon to our promotion, because he shows his little Agnes, and she's lost her hair. She just has little sprigs left, and she's looking at herself in the mirror and holding a bandana down to the side. And we appreciate this so much. It's very meaningful to have.
And I did model.
Agnes has spoken. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about coping with cancer, preferably with humor. If you have a good story about that, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go to our Facebook page, post your question or comment there. With me in the studio, of course, is Pat Wynn Brown, founder of Hair Theater, and also Vicki Smith. She's a member of the cast of the Hairdo Monologues and a cancer survivor, and her spouse, Tony Cochran, creator of the Agnes cartoon. You mentioned your mother, Tony, and Vicki and I were talking about that earlier. It's not the first time your family's battled cancer. Your mother had cancer as well, and that was about a decade ago or so.
Yes.
Right? Things have changed a lot in a decade. What, just from seeing what treatments are like and how people deal with it, what's your impressions, Tony, of what's changed?
Well, just from the outside, Vicki would be a better on actually speaking to doctors, but from watching my mother's reaction with doctors and what the doctors did for her and watching what the doctors did for my wife, it's just like 100 years difference. I mean, there's sensitivity to the situation that is unprecedented compared to the way it was when my mom did it. My mom used to tell me, I met her surgeon, and he came in, you know, he'd be breezing into the room, he'd stink like cigarette smoke, you know, and he'd say, oh, well, you know, we'll get this taken care of, it, you know, that kind of stuff. Kind of like an old world doctor, you know, like you expected him to pull
Trust
out
me.
Red hot pokers and stuff, you know, let's cauterize this thing, you know. And they're just much more sensitive to women's needs now. Not you know, since we're specifically talking about breast cancer, I say women's needs, I'm sure surgeons are sensitive to everybody's needs, but in this particular case, but Vicki would be better. She could talk about that better than I could. I was just, I'm just mostly an observer. I'm just hanging on.
Is that all he is,
Don't
Vicky?
Don't let him fool you. No, not at all. He is my life support. And that's another aspect of why I'm really glad that Patty has some men that are part of the mm-hmm. cast, because I have met so many survivors whose husbands literally walked out on them when they got their diagnosis, and who have not been supportive. And I am blessed with the most supportive man in the world. So no, he is not just there. I will say that one thing that was very positive, many things, but very positive about that relationship is that Tony always left the decision making to me. Together, we got information from the doctors. We felt as though we were part of that team. And then, you know, we would talk about things, but ultimately Tony would leave the final decision with me, and then we would talk about it together. But with his mother, she had breast cancer for 10 years, and we helped her fight that for 10 years. It was at a time when doctors did not consider you as part of the team. They did things to you rather than to take into consideration a person holistically and look at what was happening to them. They were like machines, you know, as Tony said, how the doctor came in. And now we have such support systems, and we have bigger teams, and the doctors have people who are supporting them as well. You know, we have specialists. We are very fortunate here in Columbus to have wonderful specialists and not have to go a great distance. We have nurse navigators. We have Second Opinion Clinic through Ohio Health. They have, afterwards, they have a lot of programs for survivors and their families, for nutrition and exercise. And Tony and I just recently went to Ohio Health's Cancer Wellness Retreat, where we learned a lot of things and had access to the McConnell, and they taught us things there, you know, to help with my survivorship. But I think that's the biggest difference is with Tony's mother, when we went to the appointments and talked to doctors, we always felt as they were making all the decisions, they were doing things to her and not taking into consideration her well-being in terms of her her emotional well-being.
You know? And the holistic approach that yes. is being used now, and we're extending that. And what we're doing is bringing the arts and storytelling yes. into it, which isn't just a frill. It's not just an extra fluffy thing. It's a very meaningful thing. And when I saw the children from Sandy Hook singing with Jennifer Hudson, and there's a picture in the Dispatch this morning, mm-hmm. and they say at the end, "We are Sandy Hook and we choose love." I think that was the most healing thing those children could have done, even with counseling, talking to people. But to sing with Jennifer Hudson, who had a family tragedy as well with shooting, and to be with these children, I think they all helped each other. And with the arts and the dancing and the singing and the stories, this is as powerful as chemo to help somebody raise their immunity and to heal.
Patty mentioned earlier the process itself was therapeutic, and the conversations that you had in preparing for it were very therapeutic. What was that
Absolutely.
Like, Vicky?
Absolutely.
I think it would be a blast. but
yeah, it is. And the thing is, there are some good support groups out there. I don't want to put them all down, but I tried some survivor support groups, and you know, there gets to be a lot of talk about the side effects and of chemo and all those kinds of things. And some of them were not real positive. I'd walk away a little bit hopeless. But something like this is just so hopeful and just brings out another whole side of looking at life in general, staying in the moment with each other and being able to express ourselves, and it's just been very therapeutic, very positive. I want to share with you, Ian, and your audience a quote that I really like and I think pertains here. Charlie Chaplin said, "To truly laugh, you must be able to take your pain and play with it." And I know the first time that I read that, I thought that was so powerful. And I see this group as doing that, and hopefully what we're going to do is we're going to help other people do that as well and realize that pain, yes, you can play with pain. I know that firsthand. I know many, you know, realize firsthand that they can. And those who don't, I don't think fare as well. I think the humor really helps.
Terza and Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm wondering if you have all considered incorporating, or if it actually has already been incorporated into your show, the existence of care groups with cancer patients. I was a member of a care group about 10 years ago. One of my dear friends has no family, no wife or spouse, and so about five of us decided to just kind of step in and be that family for him. And we had the wonderful experience of being there when he died, and it was just one of the most wonderful, moving experiences. And I know that that exists out there, and I just wonder if you've got any of those stories in your show.
Well, I think that's a wonderful point, and something happened over the weekend that I'm glad you brought this up. We've become a care group for each other, and we, in fact, have interacted with each other, not just with the show, but Tom is Mary Pat's hairdresser. Dr. Kripe is my surgeon. Dr. Kripe is Pauline's surgeon. And we have supported each other through this entire process. It actually began last February to get the green light, and then we had our workshop in November. Over the weekend, a friend of mine in Toronto who's been following us on Facebook, which you can follow the show production and the show on Facebook at the Hairdo Projects, the Hairdo Monologues Project on Facebook. And a woman wrote to me to say her friend Tira is in very bad shape with breast cancer with three small children and is experiencing despair over her prognosis. And she wanted to know if the cast members would communicate with her. So I'm going to be sending that out to the cast members because I think we can support her as well. This is, I call it a circus, and it's a project and a show. And I see us staying linked together as a care group. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you, Terza, for that call. We appreciate it. Vicki, you told me how last year Agnes, the namesake of Aunt Tony's comic strip, lost her hair from super glue. I think it was. After I read that back later, I thought, super glue. But anyways, you said that you weren't really paying attention at the time, but that it was at the same time that you were losing your hair from your chemotherapy,
yeah,
I think.
It was, yes.
What were you thinking about, Tony? Was that part of it?
No.
That
wasn't my fault. Somebody misplaced her hair gel with super glue.
Okay.
And she went to sleep on her Elvis pillow, and her friend helped her cut the pillow off her head, and she ended up looking very much like Vicki did after her chemotherapy treatments. But all the strips are written like 6 months ahead of time. So I had no idea exactly. You know,
okay.
It's just one of those happy accidents about the same time that her hair started falling out. Agnes's hair started falling out. So, and they both looked adorable. So, you know, Agnes's grew back. Vicki's is growing back. So.
There's been a lot of synchronicity with this show. And things are not happening by accident. It seems very purposeful.
And the show how you put this together, you want this to happen more often. You want to start this isn't a one-time deal, in other words. You
No.
want to bring this to other people in other places.
I do. Even with our workshop where we did the morning workshop and then we had lunch theater in November and everybody invited a family member or a friend, it was a little show, and everyone benefited from that. I mean, this production is very complex, and it's taken months, and it's a very difficult thing to do. But we can do these little workshops, I think, in other places. And Alan Beavers is videotaping this, and I can see us making a video out of it and helping people in that way. So a lot can come from this. It's unique. It's the only thing of its kind in the country. And I think when people see what we're doing here, they're going to say, this is therapeutic, it's entertaining, it's inspiring, and I think it can heal hearts.
Well, I want to say thanks and goodbye to Tony Cochran, creator of the cartoon Agnes. Tony, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, I had a good time. Thanks.
And also Tony's spouse, Vicki Smith, member of the cast of the Hairdo Monologues and a cancer survivor. Vicki, it was nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. And thanks for supporting the show.
Pat Wynn Brown is going to stay with us. And then when we return, we'll have some more calls, perhaps. some Facebook messages and a new guest. So don't leave. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, Andrea Stewart talks with us about tracing her family tree back to the sugar trade in Barbados, where,
you know, one side of my family had owned another.
Stewart's family included slaves and slave owners. Her new book is Sugar in the Blood. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. In the 1970s and 80s, popular novels like Rich Man, Poor Man came alive in TV miniseries. These showcases of the big networks attracted millions of viewers and became cultural landmarks. Tuesday night on PBS, Pioneers of Television looks back at the history of the TV miniseries. LeVar Burton discusses his role in Roots, and Richard Chamberlain reflects on the Thornbirds. Watch Pioneers of Television, the miniseries. It's Tuesday night at 8 on WOSU-TV. And be sure to join us for All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow for a discussion of the American Civil War and Ohio. Hear about one important but often overlooked connection, the Ewing family of Lancaster. And then it's Tech Tuesday with more on the China hacking story. That's All Sides tomorrow from 10 until noon. It's 23 degrees, about 1 to 3 inches of snow accumulation expected today, a high of 29. Another half inch of snow tonight, a low of 19. All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the impact that cancer and cancer treatments can have on a person's life and how some people cope with the stresses. Still with us is Hair Theater creator Pat Wimbrow. Her new Hair Theater show is coming up February 28th. It's called The Hairdo Monologues, when Mansoor Chemo styles her hair. For more information, check out the Hair Theater Beauty School link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. Joining us now is Bethany Golden. She's the owner of Over My Head Boutique. It specializes in hair loss and post-mastectomy products. Welcome to the show, Bethany.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me.
We have a note from Madonna on Facebook. I just wanted to kick it right off with this. She writes, hair loss during cancer treatment is an external indicator and constant reminder of the internal battle going on within. I have been honored to be part of numerous individuals, including family members, decision to shave their heads just prior to their cancer treatment journey, and they have done so with courage, extraordinary faith, and strength, a truly humbling experience.
It is, and what we've learned through the monologues, and Bethany can attest to this because she will greet the people, as the women, as soon as they've been diagnosed and understand that they'll be losing their hair, and she can talk more about that. And the women in their monologues talk about shaving their hair or leaving one last strand there. In one woman in our cast, Wendy, even went as far as to do henna tattoos on her head. And she enjoyed being bald, but for so many women, it is the worst part of treatment. And that's where Bethany comes in with her skills and with the wigs and with the styling.
Well, Bethany, did you start out as a specialty wig shop? I mean, how did you get to this?
We did start out as a specialty wig boutique. I bought the business from Carol Hoyt a little over 6 years ago, and the reason that I got into this business was from experiences that my own mom went through. She was diagnosed with breast cancer over 20 years ago, which again, it was a very different animal back then. But hair loss is always one of the very first things that run through a patient's mind. And I see them when they come right downstairs from being diagnosed or getting drains out, or, you know, it's very fresh and it's very raw. So we always talk a lot. I am sort of a jack of all trades, or at least I've turned into a jack of all trades. My mom was a child psychologist, and she has taught me a lot of, you know, therapeutic. We like to talk it out. In my family, we just like to talk it out. And that's what half of my fittings turn into be, which is why I make such great friends along with these patients.
And talk it out. Can you give me an example of what you mean by that?
We just want to get comfortable. You know, I don't ever want to start off by saying, okay, so...
What color do you want?
Exactly.
Okay.
Tell me when you're starting chemo and what your prognosis is. And no, we would never do anything like that. We just kind of get a feel for one another when they first come in. You know, I want to say hello. We go through a lot of tissues in over my head sometimes. And so, you know, I just want to be as personal, because it really is everything. It's a personal experience for everybody. And everybody's a little bit different.
And Bethany's shop used to be in Arlington. Now it's directly in the Bing, the Cancer Center. Oh. So before, there was a little bit of time between when the patient was diagnosed and learned that hair loss would be part of this, and by the time they got to the shop. Now they come down the elevator and they come into the shop, and you were talking to me about how that's a different experience now.
How is that different? I was wondering what you meant by they just come down and I'm waiting for them.
It is so different, and that was something that I was not expecting, because I have done this business for 6 years now, and it was all new and different. I mean, not only the emotional pain, but honestly, some a little bit of physical pain sometimes, you know, having had just drains out, having sutures just put in. So it's very raw. And we can be there to help with all of that. And sometimes people want to come in the very first time just to get an idea. What am I going to be dealing with? Oh, actually, it's not as bad as I had imagined that it would be. And I say that actually in my monologue for the show. The idea of a wig, or the stigma of a wig, and even mastectomy products as well, is a lot worse than the reality. They've come a long way in the last 20 years.
And if you can alleviate those kind of fears or misconceptions at the outset, before they've even lost their hair.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's a very, very bad hair day. You not only lose your hair, but for some women, insurance will not pay, or they only pay a little bit. And so we work together.
That's where your charity comes in.
The charity comes in, and Bethany is able to say to them, there's this crazy woman with all her crazy volunteers in this crazy show, and they want to help you. Bethany has been a volunteer with the fundraiser shows in Columbia. This is not specifically a fundraiser show, this one, but she's helped us with the fundraiser shows, and I've known her since she was 13 years old. So we go way back, and I knew her mom and saw what her mom went through too. And I even tried on your mom's red wig when your dad walked in one day to ask what we were doing. And we were playing hair together.
Is humor a part of what you do too?
Absolutely. Every single day, we absolutely laugh about something, because if you can't laugh about it, what are you going to do? We luckily can find humor in a lot of things. You know, when somebody will say, do you have those wig eyebrows? I'm sorry, the eyebrow wigs, eyebrow wigs. And I'll say, I actually don't. And you don't want them
either.
Are
there such a thing?
There are. They honestly look like caterpillars.
Okay. No, I would think so.
Not a good look for anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the things that we do to camouflage eyebrows are, number one, if you wear glasses, already a great camouflage. Number two, you get a cute bang, just like Michelle Obama.
Just like you had.
Mm-hmm. Get a cute bang, fantastic, new look, and it camouflages your eyebrows.
I imagine, you know, cancer is a life-changing experience, and I imagine a lot of people are worried about their hair, as you mentioned, Patty, early on, but it's also an opportunity to try on almost somebody else's skin. And that's got to be kind of liberating, too.
I've heard some husbands talk about the fact that they kind of like sleeping with a blonde now instead of, you know, a little variety. This is the spice of life. You can change your identity. But I often want to ask you, do women stay with their same hairstyle color mostly, or do they like to go a little wild? I know Wanda from the show has a special purple lady wig that she likes to wear.
I would say most often people want to match their hair as close as possible. However, there is always somebody that wants a blonde wig, a red wig, and a brown wig, different lengths, different colors, different highlights for different days of the week. But I would say most of the time people want to match their hair color. However, I always tell somebody, you know, just do something a little bit differently, you know, whether it's a slight haircut or whether you add highlights, because then people will say, oh my gosh, I love your new hairstyle. Done. No more questions about a wig. And there's no, it's seamless. There's a seamless interchange.
Is that something that people don't want to talk about, that they have a wig on?
When you go to the bank, when you go to Kroger's, you know, things like that, nobody wants to talk about that. When you're with your friends, everybody will know what's going on with you for the most part. So the difference is you don't want it to look like a wig. People will know you have a wig on, but when it looks like a wig, that's the problem.
And I've heard from people, I did not lose my hair during my first round with melanoma or with this particular round, but was the first thing I thought about. And people want to be able to pass. They don't want they'll put a wig on so they don't have to talk about cancer all the time. Some women choose not to wear their wigs at home. I know your mother, your grandmother preferred when your mother wore her wig at home. You know, it made her feel comfortable. It's hard for mothers to see their daughters with no hair because they were our first hairdressers. That's a very hard thing for them to do. But when they go to restaurants or out to the store, I've heard women say, I just want to be a normal person and not have people talk to me about my cancer.
Exactly.
You mentioned, I don't know if I was looking at some of your, publicity materials, but this is not about vanity.
No.
It's about identity.
Yes.
Identity.
Yes.
And can you, Wynn Brown, kind of distinguish those concepts?
I've noticed this with the wig fund that women will talk about feeling really bad and saying, I'm being so vain, but the hair part was the worst part for me. But I learned a lesson from my cousin Shelley when she went through breast cancer and she lost all her hair. And she looked in the mirror and she said, I had to find out who I was again, because I'd lost my identity without her hair. And I think when we go back and talk about our hairdo histories, which we all do in the monologues, we can go through our photo albums and just from our hairdos know what was happening in our lives. Our hairdos are markers. When a woman goes through something traumatic in her life, a divorce or a loss, she'll often change her hair. Our hair is a real barometer for how we're feeling about ourselves. We can tell if somebody's really, really mentally ill by disheveled hairs. Doctors will notice, oh, the hair, they have not taken care of their hair. Our hair can convict us of murder. It's full of our DNA. So it is much more than vanity. It is an identity issue. Our hair, we have our hair done. We take in our Jennifer Aniston picture. We've got these hopes and dreams, and they manifest themselves in our hairdos.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Pat Wynn Brown, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Also with us is Bethany Golden. She's the owner of the wig boutique Over My Head. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. We'd love it if you'd give us a call and share your experiences with how you coped with cancer in a humorous way, in a creative way. We'd love to hear that. You can go to our Facebook page as well.
And you know, Bethany has gone, if we can talk about it, after the birth of your second beautiful child, you went through some experiences with your own hair. And you needed to remedy that. And what was interesting was your husband's reaction to what you did.
Men, they're so funny. after both of my children, I actually did lose a lot of hair due to hormones. And I guess this is a natural thing. I guess it happens a lot of times. I wasn't blessed with a ton of hair anyway. So when I lost a lot, you know, you could see the top of my scalp. So I took my own advice and I ordered myself a hairpiece. I worked on it for a couple of days and I wore it home one day, and my husband said, why do you keep smiling at me like that? No reason. No reason at all. And, you know, after our whole nightly routine, dinner, baths, bedtime, he said, did you cut bangs while you were at work today? And I said, yep, that's it. Just cut bangs while I was at work today. He never even noticed that I had a hairpiece on. And he thought that it was such a silly thing that I wanted or thought that I needed a hairpiece. Because, again, it goes back to I think the stigma is a lot worse than the reality.
Bill in Grove City, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi,
thanks.
Bill.
Well, I have kind of a funny hair story for you.
Okay.
I had chemo and radiation and all that a few years ago, and they told me my hair was going to fall out. So I thought this might be my last chance to get a shaved head with a Hare Krishna top knot. So I had that done. And
how'd it look?
Actually, I thought it looked pretty good. And I've always had fairly wild, disheveled hair. That's mainly why I called. It's always been black and really curly. So anyway, I got it done up like that. And then when I was going through the therapy, my hair kept growing back in anyhow.
Oh. So is it back to normal now, or is it a whole different hair situation from before chemo?
It's pretty much the way it always was.
And are you doing well, Bill?
Yeah, they say so.
Yes,
it's been
good.
Over 2 years now.
Very good. I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you. I always like listening to your program.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You know, you mentioned that the show is for men as well.
Yes.
But you tend to focus a lot of your conversations about hair on women, and sometimes men are sort of forgotten in that mix.
Except the men in the cast are talking about their own hair experiences.
Exactly. Did you learn anything new from that process?
I thought it was so interesting how they talked about their own hair. And they're very, as Dr. Kripe was talking about, from a small child, he wanted his hair feathered in a certain way, and his hair has to be perfect. When I came out of surgery, January 17th, with Dr. Kripe, he pulled off his surgical hat, and he said, oh, and he rubbed his hair, and he said, sorry, I've got surgical cap hair. And I thought, it's all about the hair, no matter what's happening, life or death, it's about hair.
It's as big a deal for guys, too,
but do you
work with men, Bethany?
Yes, actually, we do. Not as much as women, but we also have wigs and hair, head coverings for men. Just wigs for men going through cancer treatments. We don't really get into the whole toupee or anything like that arena. That's a whole nother bag of worms, if you will. But yes, we do the wigs for men.
And interestingly, Tony talks about in his monologue that he was going to shave his head for Tony Cochran for his wife Vicky in solidarity, and she said, no, I don't want you to do that. So he's been growing his hair out. So his hair is getting longer. And then with Tom, our hairstylist, he's our first monologue because he hears us talk about our hair, and he knows how important this is to us. And he talks about how he understands that. And it's that old movie, Warren Beatty movie, Shampoo, about that special relationship we have with our hairdressers. And Dr. Mary Pat Borges talks about in her monologue that it is easier to lose your gynecologist than it is to lose your hairdresser.
Well, I hate to end the show today, but I have to. Pat Wynn Brown, thank you so much for joining us as usual.
Thank you. And I love that little quote from the Sandy Hook kids that we choose love. And in our show, we choose love and life and laughter.
And Bethany Golden, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
Bethany Golden, she's the owner of Over My Head Wig Boutique. Thanks to the All Sides. Well, first of all, I just want to remind folks that coming up February 28th is the Hairdo Monologues when Mansoor Chemo styles her hair. Tickets are free. For more information, check out the Hair Theater Beauty School link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurovich, assistant producer Corinne Gleckler, production assistants Karim Shaban, Rose Joe, and Leticia Wiggins, with video production by Rich Karsmitsky and Amber Karsmitsky. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.